You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 1065-251-343-0106. That's the text line. Joining us now on the line, he's chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, friend of the program. You hear him at this time every Tuesday. John Wall is with us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Thank you for making time. Always appreciate it. First Veterans Day, and it's a big day. We do a lot here on this station, but what do you think?
Well, you know, I actually have done a couple veterans events over the last week, you know, leading up to this. I was down in Lee County in Auburn on Saturday morning and got a chance to be part of a veterans program there and give some quilts out to some military members. And look, for me, this is about recognizing people who have stood in the gap and have put their life on the line for our freedoms. And I think it's so important that we have this time and we recognize it, because really, it's the same, you know, our founding fathers called the animated contest for liberty, right? And that it's the same fight, whether it's, you know, we get so caught up every day in the political battle and, you know, fighting for people's rights and freedoms, fighting for, you know, fiscal responsibility, lower taxes, protecting our children from these crazy woke policies. But at the end of the day, you recognize, hey, look, the people who really have actually put their life on the line to protect our freedoms are those who served us in the military. And so I love this. That time of year, I love that we take a day and a week to recognize our veterans and the sacrifice that they've made. And then, of course, the ultimate sacrifice where some of them never come home. And not just them, but the families who support them. So this is, it's a touching holiday for me. I love it. I'm so proud that we do it. And I hope that, I hope that everyone takes today seriously and takes a little time to thank the veterans they know in their life.
Chairman, everything's kind of, it's government shutdown, federal government shutdown coming to an end. And, you know, I think we stress test the country, see what we can endure. And to me, unless you're flying or you're a SNAP beneficiary, life kind of went on.
I agree. Look, I'm going to say this tongue in cheek. I don't know that I missed the federal government while they were shut down. And I don't want to make light of the men and women who are, you know, miss paychecks and are having to get temporary loans to make ends meet for their families. I get the pain. I get the problems with the government shutdown. But I think we should not miss a bigger picture here, which is the average everyday American did not notice or really care that the government shut down. And it did not affect their daily lives. And I think that's important because it highlights the fact that the government has gotten way too big on every level. Right now we're talking about the federal level. And I think we should use this as an opportunity to explain that and explain why the federal government should be downsized, should be cut back, because we can't afford overspending. If you're spending $2 trillion over what you're bringing in a year, it's not sustainable. And the Democrats love to talk about sustainability. They love to talk about, you know, the environment and all that. And I just really want to put this back. And then I say, look, if you believe in sustainability, if you believe in protecting, conserving, conservation in the natural world, and you understand the impacts that has on the environment, why can't you do that same thing for our budgets in conserving things and protecting things for future generations of people and our government and protect our children from this soaring national debt that is going to cripple them? And it's going to cripple our nation on every level, whether that's social programs, whether that's national defense. And I hope that this shutdown does not go to waste in us redefining the narrative and explaining to the American people the importance of getting back to fiscal responsibility and balanced budgets.
Yeah, and, you know, just like this idea that we've gotten away from with trying to end government dependency, and you know, we such a central part of this, Chairman, was the Obamacare. It had nothing to do with the actual shutdown, but the Democrats kind of forced it into the discussion. But I think it's just like a bigger picture thing that we don't look at the social safety net anymore really as a, you know, you need something like that, but becoming a crutch, if you will, and ways to get people off of it.
No, that's exactly right. Look, the bottom line is the social net, welfare was created not to become a way of life for people. It was a way to help them while they got back on their feet. And I think you hit the nail on the head. The Democrat Party as a whole now see this as a way of life. And we as Republicans, it's not that we're not caring. It's not that we don't care about people and want them to have a safety net. But we, at the end of the day, we want them to be so successful. They don't need government. They don't need welfare. They don't need SNAP. Because they're flourishing, they have healthy families, and they're being successful. And that's the American dream, and we have got to get past this attitude of defeated mentality that the Democrat Party has laid at our country, where they assume we're going to have crime in our big cities. They assume we're going to have that Americans are going to be so poor they have to have government programs. No, let's get to victory. Let's find a path to make America great, to find a way to help our citizens get off of welfare and into the workforce and off the sidelines and actually providing for their families. That's the American dream. And that's what we should all be working towards.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's like just such a missing opponent. Now, we used to talk about it in the 80s and the 90s, and they actually, Republicans actually made that a central part of, like, you know, getting people off of welfare, getting them. And this is my, I guess, hope. I don't know that this will come, but I tell you, like, we stress test the country, and I said it was SNAP beneficiaries and air traffic control. And maybe that exposes some vulnerabilities. That exposes some things that we can do to, you know, in the future to ensure we don't have these problems, that where you can modernize air traffic controlling in this country. And then, on the other hand, with SNAP beneficiaries, maybe make people less reliant on these benefits.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a real easy one on the air traffic controllers. They should either be classified as critical infrastructure, where they do continue to get paid, or we should privatize it. I see no reason that airports could not hire their air traffic controllers for their airports. There's large amounts of staff with security clearance on airports every day that are not hired by the federal government. And I see no reason that should not be privatized. So I think this is, once again, it's another area where we can definitely talk about how do we privatize, how do we get government out of the way and let the free markets work? How do we put businesses actually in charge of more things, the government in charge of less things? It's a small government conservative. Those should be the solutions that we're looking at. And if you had that in place, you wouldn't even notice the problem. Just like every other part of, our day-to-day lives that are run by businesses, they didn't shut down. And so I think there are solutions to a lot of these problems. We just have to find them and be creative.
Yeah, and we don't talk about that. The other, obviously, and I think this is going to come to a head, and I don't, Republicans just haven't moved on this, Chairman, but doing something about Obamacare. The subsidies from COVID were a fig leaf from a system that is, just not sustainable. But what it's going to do, I think it will force something. I don't know why, but there's a fork in the road here. And what worries me is that it'll go down the wrong path and we'll head toward more sort of socialism in this country with healthcare.
100%. And look, the social programs that we have put in place over the last 100 years in this country, and I want to make it clear, this is not a traditional American way of life. This is a modern system put in place, very much under Roosevelt after World War II, after the Great Depression. And these systems that were put in place are not doing well. If we're honest about it, Social Security, the amount of money the government takes in is not, the people do not get a fair return on that investment. There's no private investments that are as poor as that federal one. The government does a bad job with managing that money. And I think we need to be honest about that. And I think you're absolutely right. It really scares me putting anything else under the control of the federal government because their track record is abysmal. They're not doing a good job. They're bloated. There's way too much money goes into overhead. We really need to look at this model and say, look, if it's not working in these other areas, why do we want to put government in charge of things like healthcare or other areas of our social life, because it's not going to end well. Look, at the end of the day, Social Security, if something spectacular doesn't happen, is about to take up, between that and several other benefits, is about to take up everything the government brings in a year. And they've already spent all the reserves. They didn't save anything back. We're about to be an upside down pyramid. And the bottom line is Social Security is about to become a Ponzi scheme. And when that happens, I don't know how we save the system. I don't know how we save the budget without a massive increase in taxes or cutting people's Social Security benefits. And the Democrats don't talk about that. They just keep rushing towards this fiscal cliff, ignoring the warning signs, ignoring the numbers, and are bent on driving these systems into the ground. And if we get past a certain point, there will be no way to save them. And I think, you know, they always criticize Republicans. The Republicans are the ones who want to, you know, hurt people on Social Security benefits. It's the opposite. We're the ones trying to save the program from almost certain fiscal failure.
Yeah, but it becomes a third rail whenever Republicans try to approach this and try to do something. They get demonized and they hide. And until we can like overcome that phobia, and I don't know, maybe now's the time. We live in such a populist sort of era now that you know, it's people who are the providers who work and versus the people who are the takers.
Mm-hmm. No, and our founding fathers warned of this. You know, they basically said, I think it was Jefferson, he said, if the American population ever realized that they can vote to give themselves money out of the treasury, then the republic would be over. And I think that is a risk to any free society. It's a risk to any republic or democratic republic. And I think it's something we have to safeguard and we have to educate, because the answer is an educated electorate. The answer is taking these issues, hitting them head on, and talking about these fiscal cliffs, talking about the actual numbers. I wish we saw this more from Republicans, that they said, okay, here's the chart, here's the graph. If this trend continues, Social Security will be out of money at this date. And then what are you going to do, Democrats? What are we going to do for the American people? Because I hope, and I think we saw this last November, there is still common sense in this country. The American people still understand what's at stake, and they still understand the vision of our founding fathers and the cause of freedom, and that you can't just spend money on anything every day and get away with it. The American people still have to balance their budget. You know, they still have to live within their means, and they can understand this if we could communicate the message to them.
Kind of moving on here real quick, just a few more minutes. Alabama Public Library Service meeting coming up. What are some outstanding issues we're going to be addressing here on the horizon?
Yeah, so obviously the funding of Fear Hope is going to be back on the table. You know, whether looking at the books they have chosen to leave in there, whether they do or do not comply with state code. And then the biggest issue is probably going to be the approval of increased a code amendment that increases what is considered inappropriate for children, where the board is looking to add transgender issues and sexually explicit content that talk directly about gender ideology and pushing these things on our young people. And I know I'm going to speak for me personally, not for the entire board. I find it incredibly concerning. I think we need to let children be children again, value their innocence, and get this trash out of our libraries and get libraries back to encouraging people to have a love of reading and things that build their character and make their lives better.
Yeah, and you're getting pushback from it, but I mean, it's from the usual suspects, but this is something that seems like a relatively easy lift and probably has pretty broad public support.
Extremely. I mean, when we had the open comment period, it was 80% in favor of this code change. And I think it really does speak volumes when you see the negativity and you see the amount of pushback on an issue that really should be recognized across the board as common sense. For me, it's this easy. Cultures across the entire world for thousands of years have protected their children from sexually explicit content, from violence, from things that are hard for young minds. And that's all we're doing. It's the same thing as R-rated movies. if it has things that should be protected, that should the parents should have the decision of whether it's put in front of their kids, we're going to protect those children from that material, and we're going to let parents make the decision, not on elected bureaucrats in our libraries.
Tell me this, then. You can do a lot of things in your role at the APLS, but is there an immediate need in this session for the legislature to do something?
Look, I mean, I think that's a great question, and I think I don't want to look at the legislature to be the group that I'm asking to do something when I have charge of when I'm chairman of the state library board. I think it's our duty and it's our job to control the issues that have been assigned to us in state law. And that's what we're doing. We're doing our job as the state library board, and we're going to make sure we protect our children. At the same time, that does not take away any authority or any right of the state legislature to get involved if they see something they want to change or that they want to increase a penalty on. And so I respect their lane. I respect our lane. And my commitment is we're going to do everything we can at the APLS board to make sure we're doing our job when it comes to listening to Alabama parents and putting children and making sure children are safe again.
Yeah. And so it continues to be a hot button. Hey, well, before I let you go here, folks want to know more about the Alabama Republican Party, or, you know, it is election time, and I guess people are going to start getting reinvigorated here into our political scene. How can they do so?
Well, they're whether they want to or not, they're about to get a lot of campaign materials and see a lot of ads. But no, I encourage people to get involved in the primary process to get to know the candidate and find out who best represents your values. And of course, use the Republican Party as that tool to introduce you to the candidates and their values. So we love to engage. We're on all major social media at Alabama Republican Party. And then our website where people can sign up for a newsletter is algop.org.
Y'all check it out. Chairman, thanks again.
Always good to be on the show.
All right, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.